Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Paraparamahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtatara Shatashi Simanesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Once, when Maharaj Parikshit was on his way to conquer the world, he saw the master of Kali Yuga, who was lower than a sudra, disguised as a king and hurting the legs of a cow and bull. The king at once caught hold of him to deal sufficient punishment. Therefore, the purpose of a king's going out to conquer the world is not for self-aggrandizement. Maharaj Parikshit went out to conquer the world after his ascendance to the throne, but this was not for the purpose of aggression on other states. He was the emperor of the world, and all small states were already under his regime. His purpose in going out was to see how things were going on in terms of the godly state. The king, being the representative of the Lord, has to execute the will of the Lord duly. There is no question of self-aggrandizement. As soon as Maharaj Parikshit saw that a lower class man in the dress of a king was hurting the legs of a cow and bull, he at once arrested and punished him. The king cannot tolerate insults to the most important animal, the cow, nor can he tolerate disrespect for the most important man, the Brahmana. Human civilization means to advance the cause of Brahminical culture. And to maintain it, cow protection is essential. There is a miracle in milk, for it contains all the necessary vitamins to sustain human physiological conditions, or such psychological conditions, physiological conditions for higher achievements. Brahminical culture can advance only when a man is educated to develop the qualities of goodness. And for this, there is a prime necessity of food prepared with milk, fruits and grains. Maharaj Parikshit was astonished to see that a black sudra dressed like a ruler was mistreating a cow, the most important animal in human society. The age of Kali means mismanagement and quarrel. And the root cause of all mismanagement and quarrel is that worthless men with the modes of lower class men who have no higher ambition in life come to the helm of state management. Such men at the post of king are sure to be the first to hurt the cow and the Brahminical culture, thereby pushing all society towards hell. Maharaj Parikshit, trained as he was, got the scent of this root cause of all quarrel in the world. Thus he wanted to stop it in the very beginning. Om Agyan Timirandasya Charanjanan Shalakaya Takshuru Manitan Jinatashmai Sri Hari Maha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shibashari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here, Maharaj Parikshit has immediately detected the root cause of all the quarrel in the world. And Prabhupada said that men posted as a king or in the position of kings or leaders are sure to first hurt the cow and Brahminical culture. So we can see today's society, they hurt the cow. Even in India, they send thousands of cows every day to Bangladesh to be slaughtered. In Nepal, they send thousands of buffaloes. They also eat the buffaloes there also. But the cow is most important. But these are all symptoms of wrong leadership. When this is happening, we can understand simply by the symptoms that people are not protecting the cows and also not promoting Brahminical culture, which nobody's doing today. There's no educational system in the universities or schools today to teach Brahminical culture, to teach God consciousness. And in fact, you see, again in India, India should be setting the example, but in the name of, they give a label, non-sectarianism. It means we're non-sectarian. How can we teach Hinduism in our school, Hindu religion, when we have so many Muslims here, we have so many Christians, we're in this integrated country. So therefore, to solve the problem, non-sectarianism. And everybody. In other words, we will not teach about God. And the business of an atheist, they don't teach about God. They never speak about God. So now the schools, we won't speak about God. We won't teach about God. And in this way we will advance in education. So these are all symptoms of the mismanagement in the age of Kali Yuga. And it is not only prevalent in this time, the age of Kali, even in the different yugas. It was prevalent when you had a demoniac king there. And the examples are Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa. These are the big, big demons. What was the first thing they did when they got their power? Kamsa and Hiranyaksha persecute Brahminical culture and the cows. Because Vishnu manifests through Brahminical culture and he is offered ghee in sacrifice through the cows. So first let's persecute them, then Vishnu won't be active. Because he acts through these mediums of Brahminical culture. So this is the first symptoms of the demons. Hiranyaksha said, I want to kill that Vishnu. Was it Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu? Both of them anyway. Both of them did the same. I want to kill that Vishnu. Where is he? He's hiding. I can't find him anywhere. I was searching the whole universe. Therefore, I can't find him. Anyway, we'll kill all the cows, we'll kill all the Brahminical culture, then he'll be dead anyway, as good as dead, because he can't act. So these are the symptoms of the leadership today, simply showing the advancement of Kali Yuga, and as is very obvious, the symptoms are there. The symptom is quarrel. Mismanagement and quarrel. And you just have to look in any newspaper, any day of the week, and it's nothing but quarrel, quarrel, quarrel. The world is always quarreling. So society needs proper leadership, and Prabhupada always emphasizes and then things can go nicely. And the good examples is Parikshit Maharaj here. This is just, this Kali Raj has just appeared He's just appeared on the scene. But actually there's not much place for him to go because of the piety of the Yudhisthira Maharaj. Now King Parikshit's taken the reins. And so there's not much scope for Kali. But anyway, it's his time for appearance, so he's appeared. And he himself is killing the cow. He doesn't have the kingdom is so good at this time that he doesn't have the power to influence everyone to do kill cows. So he himself is taking the position. I'll get the Kali ball rolling. I'll personally start killing. Because no one else would kill. So Parikshit Maharaj immediately saw this king disguised as a king. And the first thing, let me kill him. Let me get this. This is the root of it's gonna grow into a big thing. Let me cut it at the root. Immediately wanted to kill this Kali Raj. So stamp out the things that are against our Brahminical culture and encourage the things that are favorable for Brahminical culture. And the ideal king is also Maharaj Prataparudra, who appeared here 500 years ago, who was the king of Puri. And he was very favorable because he became a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he was encouraging Brahminical culture. The Brahminical culture is supposed to promote the Yuga Dharma. Krishna's coming every Yuga and he gives a particular Dharma, and that is promoted by the Brahmins. They're supposed to broadcast the message of God, therefore they're considered like the gods on the earth. They're representing God. So here, also personally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here presenting the Yuga Dharma, and King Prataparudra, he was enhancing this mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was enhancing the Yuga Dharma. So this was the ideal king. Today is the Hara Panchami festival, and when the king understood that it was going on this day, he said to the devotees that now you arrange this festival in a gorgeous way, like it's never been performed before. Every year it goes on in Puri, but you arrange it in such a way that it's gorgeous, because Lord Chaitanya and his devotees said, I really want to please the Lord. And you get everything you need, all of Jagannath's paraphernalia from his godowns, you can take all that, make a gorgeous festival, double the amount of prasadam that usually cooked for Jagannath. So no one would be hungry, you can distribute to everyone. Make a grand festival. So this is the mood of a proper king. Yeah, how to propagate the Yuga Dharma and make everyone happy. So we was asked to speak on this during this Rath Yatra festival, on the different Rath pastimes. So we can hear some of the pastime from the Chaitanya Charita that happened on these days. This is from the Madhya Leela, chapter 14. And this was after Lord Chaitanya and his devotees been dancing ecstatically in front of Jagannath. Then Lord Chaitanya was taking prasad in the garden, and King Prataparudra approached him and began to massage his legs. And Lord Chaitanya, and he was chanting Gopi Geet and other songs. And Lord Chaitanya was in such ecstasy hearing it, he played as if he didn't even recognize who was coming and massaging his legs. Because he had just refused to see the king. He was dancing, and he fell down in ecstasy at the feet of the king. The king picked him up to help him. And when he looked up and he said, "Oh, what has happened to me? I've touched a worldly man. The king is the epitome of sense gratification. He's taken his birth as a king to enjoy. This is the topmost enjoyment of a human being. When you take the position of a king, you have a whole kingdom or a whole empire to enjoy it. This is topmost enjoyment. King can do no wrong." British constitution in India also. "King can do no wrong. You're complete. You're just like God. You make rules, you break rules. No one can do anything for you." So it's the epitome of enjoyment to have a body, birth of a king. So Mahaprabhu said, "What have I done? I've been touched by this enjoyer. I've lost all my piety. What is my fate? I'll go to hell. I should immediately take my life." King Pratapaduta was very, very upset. But he was a great devotee. And Sabha Bhattacharya instructed him, "Don't worry, you have received mercy. This is a plan of the Lord. Wait and see what happens." Because he was trying to get darshan, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused. "I'll never give a king darshan. I'm a sannyas. I'll fall down if I give a king darshan." So then he devised this trick that go and see him when he's in his gardens. Previously the king had just swept the chariot, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased to see that king take up a broom and sweep him, acting as a humble servant of Lord Jagannath. He was so pleased. And so then he decided to give him his mercy. So then he allowed him to come when he was in that garden. And he allowed the king to massage his legs, and he was feigning that he didn't even recognize who he was. He was so absorbed in the song and the mood of the that was being portrayed. And he gave mercy to the king, and then they all took prasad, and there was so much prasad, even all the beggars were fed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tell them all to chant Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So beggars were there. He said there was a lot of beggars, and they all got the prasad after all the devotees had taken. And then Lord Chaitanya induced them to chant Hari Bol. So even now you go there's so many beggars in Jagannath Puri. And you see many lepers there also with leprosy. Very common. There's groups of them. They're just laying there and they're begging. And they follow the car. But they know that we're in this position because of our offensive nature. We must have made an offense in our previous life. And I've seen them. They follow the rut down. Some of them can't even move. They're so out of it. But some of them roll. And some of them cruel. They're dragging themselves along. They have knowledge of what they're doing. They realize that their position is because they made some kind of offense, and they're suffering. But this is going to be their last life, and they're following the rut. They know that anybody who even sees the rut walks, they get liberation. So even the beggars know that at least we're going to be freed from our miserable condition, and the next life we can go back to Vaikuntha. Therefore, so many lepers and everything there, because they're taking advantage of this festival, which actually liberates anyone who follows the rut, not to speak of dancing and chanting. So outside the gardens where Lord Chaitanya was taking rest, then it became time to pull Jagannath's car, and all the workers called the Gudas tried to pull it, but it would not move forward. When all the Gudas saw they could not budge the car, they abandoned the attempt. Then the king arrived in great anxiety, and he was accompanied by his officers and friends. The king then arranged for big wrestlers to try to pull the car, and the king himself joined in, but the car would not be moved. Being more anxious to move the car, the king had very strong elephants brought forth and harnessed to it. The strong elephants pulled with all their strength, but still the car remained at a standstill, not budging an inch. This Rath is moving by the desire of Lord Jagannath. Even though thousands of people pulling, sometimes he just doesn't want to go, it doesn't move an inch. And many stories, so always something happens every year. I remember a few years ago, the king couldn't come. For some reason or another, he couldn't come to do that sweeping. Jagannath wouldn't move. They had another minister come, he swept, but nobody could move the cart. Again, in a long, long time, nobody could move. And finally they said, "The king, you have to come." The pandas were very angry with the king, he said. And finally the king came and he swept, and easily Jagannath moved. But here, king is there, but still Jagannath's not moving. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this news, he went there with all his personal associates. They then stood there and watched the elephants try to pull the car. The elephants, being beaten by the elephant goad, were crying, but still the car would not move. And the assembled people cried out, "Alas, alas." At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu let all the elephants go free and placed the car's ropes in the hands of his own men. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the back of the car and began to push with his head. It was then that the car began to move and roll along, making a rattling sound. Indeed, the car began to move automatically, and the devotees simply carried the ropes in their hands. Since it was moving effortlessly, they did not even need to pull it. When the car moved forward, everyone began to chant with great pleasure, "Jaya, Jaya, Jaya, Jaya Jagannath Swami Ki, Jaya." And no one else could hear anything else but "Jaya Jagannath Swami Ki, Jaya." In a moment, the car reached the door of the Gundicha temple. It said in the someone's Shastra, I can't remember it, something Brahmana. Anyway, it says that the car should be pulled slowly. Sutra, it's in the Sutra somewhere. Sutra Brahmana. The car should be pulled slowly, and the holy wheels should move very slowly. And it should be pulled with sounds of universal love. This is a very old Shastra. It means chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Slowly and carefully. About 5 years ago, the crowd was so excited that they, right at the very beginning of the route, they were so they rushed so quickly and they lost control and they went right into all the shops on the side of the road. Broke some of the car, they had to wait some time again to repair it. So it says it should be slowly so Lord Jagannath is not disturbed. Upon seeing the uncommon strength of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the people were struck with wonder. The crowd made a tumultuous vibration chanting, "Jai Gaurachandra, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya." And then the people began to chant, "Dhanya, Dhanya, wonderful, wonderful." Seeing the greatness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prataprakruja Maharaj and his ministers and friends were so moved by ecstatic love that the hairs on their body stood on end. All the servants of Lord Jagannath then took him down from the car, and the Lord went to sit on his throne. Subhadra and Balaram also sat in their respective thrones. There followed the bathing of Lord Jagannath and finally offering of food. They give Lord Jagannath snan at Gundicha. He takes a bath. Here it says he took bath. No, when they arrived, he says they took bath. In Gundicha, yeah. It happens? Oh, next morning. Okay. It's a big Mahasnan or just mental? While Lord Jagannath, Lord Balaram and Subhadra sat on their respective thrones, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees began performing Sankirtan with great pleasure, chanting and dancing in the yard of the temple. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting, he was overwhelmed with ecstatic love, and all the people who saw him also flooded in the ocean of love of Godhead. In the evening, after finishing his dancing in the yard of Gundicha temple, the Lord observed the arati ceremony. Thereafter, he went to the place called Aitota and took rest for the night. For 9 days, 9 chief devotees, headed by Advaita Acharya, got an opportunity to invite the Lord to their homes. During the 4 months of the rainy season, the remaining devotees extended invitations to the Lord for one day each. In this way, they all shared invitations. For the 4 month period, all the daily invitations were shared among important devotees, and the rest of the devotees did not get an opportunity to extend an invitation to the Lord. Since they could not get 1 day each, 2 or 3 devotees combined to extend an invitation. These are the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of invitations. After taking his bath early in the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will go to see Lord Jagannath in the temple. Then he will perform Sankirtan with his devotees. By chanting and dancing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced Advaita Acharya to dance. Sometimes he induced Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, and Achyutananda to dance. Sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged Vakeshwara and other devotees in chanting and dancing. 3 times daily, morning, noon and evening, he would perform Sankirtan in the yard of the Gundicha. Whole day. At this time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt that Lord Krishna had returned to Vrindavan. Thinking of this, his feeling of separation from Krishna subsided. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always thinking of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and he remained personally merged in this consciousness. There were many gardens near the Gundicha temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees used to perform the pastimes of Vrindavan in each of them. In a lake named Indrajumna, he sported in the water. The Lord personally splashed all the devotees with water, and the devotees surrounding on all sides also splashed the Lord. While they were in the water, sometimes they formed one circle and sometimes many circles. And while in the water, they used to play the cymbals and kartals and imitate the croaking frogs. Sometimes 2 would pair off and fight in the water. One would emerge victorious and the other defeated, and the Lord would watch all this fun. First sporting took place between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, who threw water upon each other. Advaita Acharya was defeated, and he later began to rebuke Nityananda, calling him ill names. Srup Damodar and Bidyanidhi also threw water upon each other, and Murari Gupta and Vasudev Dutt also sported in that way. Another duel took place between Srivas Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit, and yet another between Raghava Pandit and Bhakeshwara Pandit. Thus they all engaged in throwing water. Indeed, Sarva Bhuma Bhattacharya engaged in water sport with Sri Ramananda Roy, and they both lost their gravity and became like children. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the exuberance of Sarva Bhuma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy, he smiled and spoke to Gopinathacharya. Tell the Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy to stop their childish play, because they are both learned scholars and very brave and great personalities. Gopinathacharya replied, I believe that one drop of the ocean of your great mercy has swelled upon them. A drop of the ocean of your mercy can drown great mountains like Sumeru and Mandara. Since these two gentlemen are little hills by comparison, it is no wonder they are being drowned in the ocean of your mercy. Logic is like a dry oil cake from which all the oil has been extracted. The Bhattacharya passed his life in eating such dry cakes, but now you have made him drink the nectar of the transcendental pastimes. It is certainly your great mercy upon him. After Gopinathacharya finished talking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and, calling for Advaitacharya, made him act like a Sheshnaga bed. Lying down on Advaita Prabhu, who was floating on the water, Lord Chaitanya demonstrated the pastimes of Sheshashayi Vishnu, manifesting his personal potency. Advaitacharya floated about on the water carrying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After sporting for water for some time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his place at Ayutthaya, accompanied by his devotees. Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati and all the other chief devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took lunch at the invitation of Advaitacharya. Whatever extra prasadam was bought by Baninath Roy was taken by the other associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the afternoon, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Gundicha temple to visit the Lord and dance. At night, he went to the garden to take rest. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went to the temple of Gundicha and saw the Lord. Then he danced and chanted in the yard for some time. Accompanied by his devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the garden and enjoyed the pastimes of Vrindavan. There were multifarious trees and creepers in the garden, and they were all jubilant to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, the birds were chirping, the bees were buzzing, and a cool breeze was blowing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced beneath each and every tree. Vasudev Dutt sang alone. Vasudev Dutt sang a different song beneath each and every tree. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced there alone in great ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then ordered Rakusha Pandit to dance. And as he began to dance, Lord Chaitanya began to sing. Then devotees like Srup Damodar and other Kirtan performers began to sing along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being inundated with ecstatic love, they all lost consideration of time and circumstance. Thus, after performing pastime in the garden for some time, they went to the lake called Narendra Sarovara, and there they enjoyed sporting in the water. After sporting in the water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to the garden and accepted prasadam with the devotees. For 9 continuous days, His Lordship, Sri Jagannath Dev, stayed at the Gundicha temple. During this time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also stayed there and performed the pastimes with his devotees, as we have already described. The garden of his pastime was very large and was named Jagannath Vallabha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took rest there for 9 days. Knowing that the Hara Panchami festival was drawing near, King Prataparudra attentively talked with Kashi Mistra. Tomorrow will be the function of Hara Panchami, or Lakshmi Vijay. Hold this festival in a way that it has never been held before. King Prataparudra said, hold this festival in such a gorgeous way that upon seeing it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be completely pleased and astonished. Take as many printed cloths, small bells, umbrellas and chamaras as there are in my storehouse and in the deity storehouse. Collect all kinds of small and large flags and ringing bells. Then decorate the carrier and have various musical dancing parties accompanying it. In this way, decorate the carrier attractively. You should also double the quantity of prasadam. Make so much that it even surpass the Rath Yatra festival. Arranging the festival in such a way that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may freely go with all of his associates and visit the deity without difficulty. In the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his personal associates with him to see Lord Jagannath at Sundarachala. Gundicha is called Sundarachala and Jagannath temple is called Nilachala. Sundarachala is Vrindavan. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal devotees returned to Nilachala with great eagerness to see the Harapanchami festival. Kashi Misra received Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great respect and taking the Lord and his associates to a very nice place, he had them seated. After taking his seat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to hear about the particular mellows of devotional service. Therefore, mildly smiling, he began to question Sri Dango. Although Lord Jagannath enjoys his pastimes at Dwarkadham and naturally manifests sublime liberty there, still once a year he becomes unlimitedly eager to see Vrindavan. Pointing out to the neighboring garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all these gardens exactly resemble Vrindavan, and therefore Lord Jagannath is very eager to see them again. Externally, he gives the excuse that he wants to participate in the Rath Yatra festival, but actually, he wants to leave Jagannath Puri and go to Sundarachala, the Gundicha temple, a replica of Vrindavan. The Lord enjoys his pastimes day and night in various flower gardens there. But why does he not take Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, with him? Sri Damodar replied, my dear Lord, please hear the reason for this. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, cannot be admitted into the pastimes of Vrindavan. In the pastimes of Vrindavan, the only assistants are the gopis. But for the gopis, no one can attract the mind of Krishna. The Lord said, using the Kaur festival as an excuse, Krishna goes there with Subhadra and Baladev. All these pastimes with the gopis that take place in those gardens are very confidential ecstasies of Lord Krishna. No one knows them. Since there is no fault at all in Krishna's pastime, why does the goddess of fortune become angry? Sri Rupa Damodara replied, it is the nature of a girl afflicted by love to become immediately angry upon finding any neglect on the part of her lover. While Sri Rupa Damodara and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were talking, the procession of the goddess of fortune came by. She was riding on a golden palanquin carried by four men bedecked with a variety of jewels. The palanquin was also surrounded by people carrying umbrellas, chamara whisks and flags, and it was preceded by musicians and dancing girls. The maidservants were carrying water pitchers, chamara whisks and boxes for betel nuts. There were hundreds of maidservants, all attractively dressed and wearing valuable necklaces. In an angry mood, the goddess of fortune arrived at the main gate of the temple, accompanied by many members of her family, all of whom exhibited uncommon opulence. When the procession arrived, the maidservants of the goddess of fortune began to arrest all the principal servants of Lord Jagannath. The maidservants bound the servants of Lord Jagannath, handcuffed them, and made them fall down at the lotus feet of the goddess of fortune. Indeed, they were arrested just like thieves who have all their riches taken away. When the servants fell down before the lotus feet of the goddess of fortune, they became almost unconscious, and they were chastised and made the butt of jokes and loose language. See, when Jagannath left the temple and went to the festival, he said, "I'm coming back after a day. I'm only going for a day to that Vrindavan. Then I'll come back." So after some days had passed, no. Then Lakshmi Devi said, "Why didn't Jagannath come back? He promised to come back in one day." So she became really angry and she went down with her friends to bring Jagannath back. This is the festival today, Harapanchami, has been described. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates saw such impudence exhibited by the maid servants of the God of Fortune, they covered their faces with their hands and began to smile. Srupa Damodara said, "There is no egoistic pride like this within the three worlds. At least, I have never seen or heard of it. When a woman is neglected and disappointed out of egoistic pride, she gives up her ornaments. A morosi sits down on the ground, marking lines on it with her nails. I have heard this kind of pride in Satyabhama, Krishna's proudest queen, and I've also heard of it of the gopis of Vrindavan, who are the reservoirs of all transcendental mellows. But in the case of the goddess of fortune, I see a different kind of pride. She manifests her own opulence and even goes with her own soldiers to attack her husband." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Please tell me the varieties of egoistic pride manifest in Vrindavan." Srupa Damodara replied, "The pride of the gopis is like a river flowing with hundreds of tributaries. The characteristics and mode of love are different in different women. Their jealous anger also takes on different varieties and qualities. It is not possible to give a complete statement about the different types of jealous anger manifested by the gopis. But a few principles may serve as an indication. There are three types of women experiencing jealous anger. They are sober women, restless women, and women both restless and sober. When a sober heroine sees her hero approaching from a distance, she immediately stands to receive him. When he comes near, she immediately offers him a place to sit. The sober heroine conceals her anger within her heart and externally speaks sweet words. When her lover embraces her, she returns his embrace. The sober heroine is very simple in her behavior. She keeps her jealous anger within her heart, but with her mild words and smiles, she rejects the advances of her lover. The restless heroine, however, sometimes chastises her lover with cruel words, sometimes pulls his ear, and sometimes binds him with a flower garland. The heroine, who is a combination of sobriety and restlessness, always jokes with equivocal words. She sometimes praises her lover and sometimes blasphemes him, and sometimes she remains indifferent." And he goes on to describe many different characteristics of the woman, the behavior of the gopis in jealous anger to Krishna. At this time, Srivast Thakur smiled and told Srupa Damodara, "My dear sir, please hear. Just see how opulent my goddess of fortune is. As far as Vrindavan is concerned, it consists only of a few flowers, twigs, and some minerals from the hills, a few peacock feathers, and that plant known as gunja, which they make the gunja mala from." When Jagannath decided to see Vrindavan, and he went there, and upon hearing this, the goddess of fortune experienced restlessness and jealousy. She wondered, "Why did Lord Jagannath give up so much opulence and go to Vrindavan?" Just to make him a laughing stock, the goddess of fortune made arrangements for such decoration. The maidservants of the goddess of fortune said to the servants of Lord Jagannath, "Why did your Lord Jagannath abandon the great opulence of the goddess of fortune for the sake of a few leaves, some fruits and flowers? Go and see the flower garden of Radharani. Your master is so expert at everything, but why does he do such things? Now bring your master before the goddess of fortune. In this way, all the maidservants of the goddess of fortune arrested the servants of Lord Jagannath. They bound them around the waist and brought them before the goddess of fortune. When all the maidservants brought Lord Jagannath's servants before the lotus feet of the goddess of fortune, the Lord's servants were fined and forced to submit. All the maidservants began to beat the rat cart with sticks, and they treated the servants of Jagannath almost like thieves. Finally, all of Lord Jagannath's servants submitted to the goddess of fortune with folded hands, assuring her that they would bring Lord Jagannath before her the very next day. Being thus pacified, the goddess of fortune returned to her apartment. Just see, my goddess of fortune is opulent beyond all description. Shivas Thakur continued to address Sri Dhanadhar. Your gopis are engaged in boiling milk and turning it into yogurt. But my mistress, the goddess of fortune, sits on a throne made of jewels and gems. Shivas Thakur, who was enjoying the mood of Narad Muni, thus made jokes. Because he is the incarnation of Narad Muni. And Narad Muni's worshipful deity is Lakshmi Narayana. Hearing him, all the personal associates and servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to smile. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Shivas Thakur, "My dear Shivas Thakur, your nature is exactly like that of Narad Muni. The Supreme Personality of Godhead's opulence is having a direct influence upon you. Sri Damodar is a pure devotee of Vrindavan. He does not even know what opulence is, for he is simply absorbed in pure devotional service." Sri Damodar then retorted, "My dear Srivas, please hear me with attention. You have forgotten the transcendental opulence of Vrindavan. The natural opulence of Vrindavan is just like an ocean. The opulence of Dwarka and Vaikuntha is not even compared to a drop. Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulence, and his complete opulence are exhibited only in Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan Dham is made of transcendental touchstone. Its entire surface is a source of all valuable jewels. And the Chintamani stone is used to decorate the lotus feet of the maidservants of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a natural forest of desire trees and creepers. And the inhabitants do not want anything but the fruits and flowers of those desire trees. In Vrindavan there are cows that fulfill all desires. And their number is unlimited. They graze from forest to forest and deliver only milk. The people want nothing else. In Vrindavan, the natural speech of the people sounds like music, and their natural motion resembles a dance. The water in Vrindavan is nectar, and the Brahmajyoti effulgence, which is full of transcendental bliss, is also directly perceived there in its form. The gopis there are also goddesses of fortune. And they surpass the goddess of fortune who abide in Vaikuntha. In Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is always playing his transcendental flute, which is his dear companion. The damsels of Vrindavan, the gopis, are super goddesses of fortune. The enjoyer of Vrindavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The trees there are all wish-fulfilling trees, and the land is made of transcendental touchstone. The water is all nectar, the talking is singing, and the walking is dancing, and the constant companion of Krishna is his flute. The effulgence of transcendental bliss is experienced everywhere. Therefore, Vrindavan is the only relishable abode. The anklets on the damsels of the Brajabhumi are made of Chintamani stone. The trees are wish-fulfilling trees, and they produce flowers with which the gopis decorate themselves. There are also wish-fulfilling cows which deliver unlimited quantities of milk. These cows constitute the wealth of Vrindavan. Thus Vrindavan's opulence is blissfully exhibited. Sri Shivas Thakur then began to dance in ecstatic love. He vibrated sounds by slapping his armpits with the palms of his hands, and he laughed very loudly. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard all these discussions about the pure transcendental mellow of Srimad Radharani. Absorbed in transcendental ecstasy, the Lord began to dance. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstatic love, Srut Damodar was singing, and the Lord said, "Go on singing, go on singing." The Lord then extended his own ears. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love was awakened by hearing the songs of Vrindavan. In this way, he inundated Purushottam Jagannath Puri with pure love of Godhead. Finally, the goddess of fortune returned to her apartment. Si Harapanchamiki.
Yes.
Jagannath Swami ki.
Yes.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.
Yes.
Dai Gopi Manandi.
Yes.
So this is the pastime that's going on today. Someone told me they saw it last year, I think, but it was nothing like this description here. Just a few pandas went and nothing really, it wasn't really exciting or anything like that. Anyway, King Patrikud made it really astonishing festival. There's more leelas also when Jagannath goes back. Again, the goddess of fortune doesn't let him back inside the temple as the little leela goes on. They have a little dialogue. Lakshmi locks the gates. So when Jagannath comes back, he says, "Well, I'm back, open the doors." The guards say, "We've been ordered not to open the doors." He said, "What do you mean? I live here. I'm the king. I'm Jagannath. The queen has ordered us to not let you in." So he says, "Bring the queen here." So they make an elephant, all decorated elephant. And they send it with a palanquin. And she immediately sends it back. So then he makes a nice, they get a nice palanquin decorated. And he promises, Swami's got so many things to offer and so many nice jewels. He wants to give her all these nice gifts and all this opulence. And then she comes. And still she doesn't open the door. She comes to the other side of the gate. The dialogue goes on between the pandas and the devidasas in Sanskrit. And it's going backwards and forwards. And Lakshmi is saying, "Well, you know, I come from a poor family. I can't accept all this wealth that you're offering me." And it goes on a long time, because there's another pastime. Because she was considered coming from a poor family, because she was considered untouchable at one time, because she was associating with the untouchables. And Balaram was criticizing it, because Lakshmiji used to serve Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra every day as a sister-in-law. And Balaram said to her that, "I've seen that you're accepting worship from untouchables. This is not good for, you know, our family tradition. You're serving us, and you accept service one time, and then you come and serve Jagannath and myself. This is not good for our family tradition." So Lakshmiji was angry, because on the day of their wedding, when she got married to Jagannath, he made a promise that on Thursday she can accept worship from anyone, even the untouchables. This is her day of worship. So she said, if it's in accordance with Jagannath that I'm accepting this worship, then therefore I have to accept worship from the untouchables. They're worshipping me. So she became angry with Balaram. So she said, okay, you don't want to accept my service as an untouchable woman, I'll leave. So she left the temple. She is Sri, naturally all the opulence left. Plus she took all of her paraphernalia, which was, everything was hers. Everything was given to the, you know, the woman is in charge of the household, so all the paraphernalia is all given by the woman. So all of her servants, they took out all the paraphernalia, all the cooking paraphernalia in the kitchen. Maybe Jagannath had beautiful beds, ivory beds with every good jewels and stones, precious things. Took out and they gave some simple cots, wooden cots to lay on. And then Krishna and Balaram went, then, well, why isn't our meal coming? There's waiting and waiting. Well, find out what's happening in the kitchen. And there's no one in the kitchen. What do you mean there's no one in the kitchen? There's no one is there. No one's cooking. Well, we're starving. What's happening there? They said, oh, everybody's left. And Balaram would go, oh, it must have been... She got upset when I said, you know, I criticized her about accepting worship in the untouchable. Jagannath said, well, what are you going to do about it? Or, I'm starving, hungry. And then they would search me. They must be starving. I couldn't find anything. All the food was gone. They said, what are we going to do? They said, Balaram, do something. You got us in this situation. I don't know what to do. We'll have to go out and beg something, I guess. And they were going out and they was going to the door, so they would have to become beggars. And people said, oh, Madhukari said, just give them a little tiny bit of food in their hand. You know, beggar means you go from one house to another. Said, what are we doing? I'm still not satisfied. We're eating a little bit of food. I said, my belly is not full. Balaram, what have you done? Get us out of the situation. We were starving. They were both in great anxiety. And Balaram, okay. And he went to one house and he knocked on the door and Lakshmi came out. And she had taken shelter in another house. And Balaram fell at her feet and said, Mother, please give us alms. We are starving, hungry. Please give me in. He said, well, I'm a low class woman. I'm an untouchable. How can I ever give you prasadam? How can I give you foodstuffs? No, please, Mother, please. Oh, we're so hungry, we're starving. Please give us some food, sir. Well, if you don't mind accepting from an untouchable woman, I can give you anything. Please, we are starving. So then she gave the foodstuffs and then they all went back. Then she came back to the temple and they were happy. Then she never criticized. But I won't ever criticize her again after that little pastime. So she was considering, so, well, I come from a poor family, I don't know. So I can't accept all this opulence you're giving. She said, the Lakshmi was saying, now why don't you, Krishna, why don't you go back to the Subhadra? Because you went out for a ride, you went to Vrindavan, you said, you're having a good time, enjoying. And, well, what's going to happen? She's going to be feeling so much separation from you. You just left me like that. You went there. Now you've come back. She's going to be feeling so much. In other words, you were saying you left me and I was in so much separation. You left me so many days. She says her anger was coming out. So you better go back to Subhadra. Because why would I? Subhadra would be so upset. You're feeling so much separation. You just go back to Subhadra if you like. Well, Jagannath, please let me in. I want to come in. It's my palace. This is my temple. So all these conversations are going on. What could I do? He said, I couldn't take you. Balaram was there. You know, you're the sister-in-law. The sister-in-law in culture, she doesn't sit with the brother-in-law, the elder brother-in-law. They're not allowed to be there in the presence of the elder brother. What could I do? But your brother-in-law, Balaram was there. I wanted you to come. But he knows he's going to get angry. That's why he does this after the Ishnanya, after they have that Leela, when Jagannath is supposed to be sick. So he knows after that he's going to go to Vrindavan, she'll get jealous and angry. So he gives a couple of weeks. He's just with Lakshmiji and no one else. And they just wander around in the gardens and enjoying with Lakshmi and eating sweets and things like that. for a couple of weeks while and but the news out that he is sick, so nobody can see him, the temple's locked, like nobody can take his darshan. So he said, just to pacify Lakshmiji for a couple of weeks, then after she goes to Vrindavan, so she won't be so upset and jealous. Anyway, finally she relents and she says, okay, let Jagannath in, and I open the doors and well, Jagannath comes in. That day he's dressed in the Shonabesh. That day he's, they put the Shonabesh on that. There's all golden, big golden crown. He has big golden hands, big golden feet. And Balaram also. Right? And, yeah, I've seen the film of that. They're carrying it. It takes two men to carry one hand. A huge hand is solid gold. Well, this is complete opulence because he wants to please the goddess of fortune. So he can, oh, you got a picture there. Jagannath Swami ki jai, Parapanchami ki jai, Sri Rathyatra Mahotsava ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Nitai Gopremanandi ki jai. There's some prasad.
Could we bring that prasad?
Was there some prasad in there? Okay. Samavesh. The golden hands, golden feet. Jagannath Swami ki. So one devotee has kindly brought some Jagannath Mahaprasadam from Puri.